Radio Saudi.
Saudi Digital.
Hey, cut up the station, it's about that time for Fila. Most likely he a small fry if he was stamped by Beehive. It's one in one station only, they got the streets on fire. So please do not touch the dial, cut we finna go live.
What's happening, what's happening, what's happening? Of course you know it's your boy Beehive Radio Shout in. Stepping in the building, I got my Houston, Texas fam stepping off in this thing. Beat King Kong, Club Godzilla.
What it do?
What's good with it, my dog?
You know, I'm so happy to be here. You know, you're one of my favorite channels,
my nigga.
I watch every interview. I learn things about this culture that I had no clue about.
My God.
Like, you ask the right questions. You don't beat around the bush.
Come on now.
I tell this nigga all the time, he's mastered the art of asking niggas the hard questions, but he asking in such a genuine family way. Yes, when they was beating your ass and taking your chain, how does you feel about it, man? And you'd be like, man, he really cares. But when they punched me in the eye, what I was thinking was, this chain costs a lot of money. I hope they don't take it from me. Like, you know how to ask you the right questions. In a family way type shit, you know what I'm saying?
I mean, but it's likewise, though, Beat King, man, because I've been following you for a long-ass time.
Hey,
when you tearing
for sure.
up these clubs to
for
you
sure.
dropping music independently, then going mainstream, then going back independent again, but then making noise at the same time, to the point to where the Bun B himself has to say that we need to protect this
man
at all costs.
Shout out to Bun B. Like, that's my partner. Like, that ain't my rap partner.
Yeah.
Like, that's my nigga. The whole world needs a Trillburger.
Come on, man. I agree with that 1,000%.
So, real talk. So shout out to the OG Bun, because it stamps like that. That mean a lot to me.
Talk to me about coming out of Houston and Texas and then having an OG like Bun on your side vouching the long way with it, man.
Well, I tell people all the time, man, the traditional sound of Houston was, you know, real music, you know, real life events. It was car culture, it was Screw, you know what I'm saying? It was their foundation, UGK and Rap-A-Lot, they left, you know what I'm saying? But me coming up, I was a rapper. I've never smoked or drank, you know, so I don't do drugs, you know. So in a city where everybody is slow and leaning and all that, I'm the only motherfucker with some energy. You know what I'm saying? So that's kind of how I stood out, you know what I'm saying? All my music was energetic.
Yeah.
And it had a lot of energy in it, you know what I'm saying? So coming up in Houston, you know what I'm saying? I'm listening to SUC, I'm listening to Rap-A-Lot, Suave House, you know what I'm saying? Everything, you know, but I always loved Memphis music.
Yeah.
You know, and a normal Houstonian, somebody who would, the same message they would get from jamming Lil Kiki, I get that same message jamming Project Pat.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? I always love the beats, you know. So, and I love Houston beats, don't get it fucked up.
Of course not.
But Memphis always had a very strong influence on me, because 3-6 Mafia, my favorite rap group of all time, you know. So that's how I really got into Swisher House music, because Michael Watts, he's a genius with his blends and how he would always take a 3-6 Mafia beat and have Slim Thug and Pow Wow and them rapping on it or some shit. I'm like, oh, this is the best of both worlds over here. What the fuck? Hold up, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's coming up in Houston, though. I love our identity. I love what we stand for right now. I believe we the number one party city in the country right now with our clubs, our strip clubs, our pool parties that go viral every fucking week from Sakaya and Clay and, you know what I'm saying, our restaurants. You're going to gain about 15 pounds.
Come on now.
Coming there for a weekend, a Turkey Leg Hut and Trill Burger and my favorite restaurant, Cali Houston, you know, Cali's Kitchen. It's a lot of shit. James Harden got some nice steaks over there at his spot. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's Area 29 got some nice wings. Onyx got some nice wings. See, I just lost 53 pounds, so I can't eat this shit no more. This shit be fucking with me. You know what I'm saying? But, yeah.
I mean, speak on this weight loss journey, man. What was it that made you drop all that?
Man, you know, when you start to knocking on 40's door, man, your body start doing dumb shit.
Come on now. Don't
like
go there with me.
You just be laying down, you know, watching TV or something, and your heart just beating fast. And you ain't even doing shit. You're like, am I fitting to die, God? What's going on? Like I need to just, the older I get, every year I have new hits. And it's just like, my shows are getting longer. And I'm getting up there. I'm just like, after the third song, I'm just... Y'all pop some pussy. You know what I'm saying? Like, the older you get, you know, your body is starting to tell you, like, bro, we had a good run, but we're going to check out soon.
Exactly.
You don't, you know.
Get it right.
You know, so I've made a commitment, you know, August last year, it's been a year so far.
Yeah.
With no trainer or nothing, I taught myself. YouTube is very informatic when it comes to shit like that. It teach you about how many calories you should eat a day.
Yeah.
I'm not a gym person. Never been a gym person.
Yeah.
So I bought everything for my garage.
Okay.
So I lift weights 3 times a week. Can't skip the leg day either, man. That's that's how you truly lose weight, the leg day. You know what I'm saying? And cardio and shit. And walk around my neighborhood for 1 hour almost every day. And yeah, man, that's how I lost 53 pounds in a year.
How are you feeling, though?
I feel better.
Okay.
I feel better. Like, I've been in Atlanta the last 3 or 4 days. If it would have been this time last year, I'd have been tired as fuck. I've been tired all these different spots and staying out all night in these clubs all night, these strip clubs. And, you know, when you a rap nigga, you on the road, man, ain't nothing open but the bullshit at night.
Yeah.
So entertainment, man, being on that road is hard. So but you, once you in it, and you start seeing some results, you know, you get way more committed then.
20 ratchets.
20 hood hoes.
Come
bend
on.
Bend it over, make your knees touch your elbows. Ow. Hey, shout out to K Carbon.
I mean, that's turn a dog. Junkyard into a party, though, man.
Hey, man. And that was my dog, Dang Film. That was his idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. That's that was going to be the lead single on the album when I was still with Columbia.
Ah.
You know what I'm saying? I wanted K Carbon, I wanted Glorilla on it.
What?
Glorilla was supposed to be on there, but you know, when Glorilla started turning up last year, me and her locked in, you know what I'm saying? Because I knew of her, because I keep my ear to the streets
that's
in
right.
Memphis. But when, of course, the goddamn fuck nigga Free came out, that's when it went dumb. So that's when I reached out and we became cool and all that, and I was just trying to work with her. You know, I was staying tapped in with her, trying to work with her, but I knew once Cardi hopped on that song, it was going to be a wrap, man. When she hopped on
that. Did y'all get any work done when y'all were locked in?
No, she cool people. My thing, I've been in the game 13, 14 years.
Yeah.
And I respect it. When you're busy, you're busy.
You're busy, man. You're it's busy, real busy,
you know,
though.
Busy, like, you know, so her label probably looking there like, man, doing a song with B-King is not going to help your career right now. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's, and I always respected the game. You know what I'm saying? Like, I ain't. You know, you on a song with Cardi right now and it's going dumb. You
Come
know?
On.
So, you know, shout out to Glorilla though. It ain't no hard feelings, none of that. And I'm still a big fan and type person, man. When it's supposed to happen, it's going to happen, you know.
I mean, when you think about...
But then Shibuya start blowing up.
Talk to
and
me.
And then me and K Carbon locked in. I'm glad the song was me and K Carbon because you killed that.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
So. Exactly. So, I mean, break that down to me though, man, when it comes to those features, because, I mean, you got some hellified features at the same time, okay?
Yeah, I try to keep it short though. I didn't want a bunch of features on this album because the last project I dropped was during the pandemic, right before I signed to Columbia.
My God.
It's a whole story behind that project because it's not on the DSPs no more. When I signed to Columbia, when Then Lee started going dumb and viral, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I signed with Columbia and they wanted that song.
Mm-hmm.
So because they wanted that song, they had to disable the rest of the album around it. Now, when that happened, it was just that song that would work off the album.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm like, all right, well, my album's not on Apple Music no more. Let me just upload the album again using a different distribution company or something. Every time we tried to do that, it would tell us that the album is already uploaded, you know what I'm saying, because of coding. So it's there, but it's not there. I can't upload it again. So to my fans, they heard the album in 2020, and they can't even hear it no more, you know what I'm saying? So and with that in mind, coming to the beginning of this year, I'm realizing I'm going to be up to my deal in Columbia, out of my deal. So that got me excited, and I recorded all new music.
Yeah.
It's only probably about 2 songs on the album that's 3 years old.
Yeah.
But other than that, I recorded all new music because I was listening to what's going on today, the everything, inspired by all this shit, the Sexy Reds, the Glorillas, the Cardis. I'm like, all right, I got something for y'all motherfucking ass. You know what I'm saying? So I went in there, and I made every beat on the album.
Yeah.
And just, you know, went in, you know. And shout out to the features that's on there. Suki Honda, that's my nigga.
What up, Dosuki?
We just hanging with her last night, her and her Sexy Red.
Hell yeah. I mean, what the hell is that vibe like when you get with them two right there?
You know what's crazy, man? We all are entertainers.
Yeah.
It's the highest aspect. We all entertainers, you know. So when you hang with us, if we in a public setting and the camera's out, it's entertainment time. You gonna hear some crazy shit.
Yeah.
We ready. But when them cameras come off, we be chilling.
Yeah.
Yes, Suki. So would you like to meet me at Ruth Chris? We can get us a nice steak and, you know, we be all You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
With normal people.
I'm with you.
I can't hang with people who ain't normal and 100.
Come on, man.
I've been outside too long, and I can't hang with the fake rappers. And got to be a real person. You know what I'm saying? So.
I mean, speaking of being outside so damn long, though, King, man, I mean, when I look at your trajectory and longevity at the same damn time, you have been going crazy the whole time, but then Leave comes out and breaks the net, okay?
My fans be talking about that. They like, man, bro, we love you. Why they blow this song up? You know what I'm saying? Like, this is like your most mid song. Like,
but oh
I'm like,
God.
But that song, that's a formula that I've been doing for years. Like, me and Queendom Come, we had regional success with a song called You Ain't About That Life Ho back in 2012.
Yeah.
Same formula. Her on the hook, me on the verses.
Yeah.
And you know, I developed that formula with her for the hooks. I always make sure the hook is for women.
Yeah.
When that verse come in, Club Godzilla, I ain't tricking, I'm dicking bitches up. The verses
for the,
is for the guys.
Exactly.
As long as you keep that balance and go back and forth, hook verse,
everybody's
hook,
happy.
Everybody happy, you know what I'm saying? So.
Can you talk about, you know, your relationship with Queendom Come too as well, man? I mean, how did y'all link up? And I mean, what is y'all chemistry like?
Well, let me just give Queendom Come her flowers, because a lot of people that may not be familiar with her music, may think she just like some hook girl, like she just some voice for radio. That motherfucker can rap her ass off.
Yeah.
She's a spitter, a lyricist, you know what I'm saying? Singer, all that. And that's been my dog for like over 10 years, you know what I'm saying? I met her because I think she wanted me to do a verse with her or something, so I can't really remember.
Yeah.
But she came to my house around 2010, and I was like, man, your voice is very attractive. Like, you sound like an attractive girl and an ugly bitch at the same time. Like, you have a voice for radio. You see, you have a very universal voice.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Everyone can relate to it. You know what I'm saying? So she laid a hook down for me for the song You Ain't About That Life Ho, and that's the first hit we ever had. It didn't end up hitting, like, I think 90-something on the Billboard charts.
Yeah.
Independently. When I say independently, I don't mean like Empire independently. I
like
mean like TuneCore independently, like DistroKid independently. Like,
these fingers upload everything.
Yeah, I press goddamn. You know what I'm saying? Like, real talks, that real independent shit, you know? So every time we do music, people love it. And that's why she had to be on this album. You know what I'm saying?
Talk to me about that real independent journey, though, man. I mean, what was that like grinding for all of them years? And then when you decided to make that foray into the big leagues with Columbia, at what point did you feel like it was time for you to go ahead and take that leap?
It was a very exciting time in my life, man. It was, you know, being independent for 10 years is not easy as people think.
Come on, now.
Being consistent is not easy, as people think. Trying to come up with new ways to say the same thing every year. After you say pop that pussy or bounce that ass, it's really nothing else you can say.
Come on,
so
now.
So you got to figure out new, inventive ways to say the same shit, you know what I'm saying? So you go through a lot of ups and downs being independent.
Yeah.
Now, that first maybe 2 or 3 years, everybody loving you, then they grow a resistance. They get tired of you winning. It's hard to make people keep supporting you the same way they were. They waiting to see something big. Man, when you gonna do something bigger? When you gonna, you know what I'm saying? So dealing with those pressures on top of that, you know what I'm saying, having to maintain a certain amount of success and having people fuck with you the same way. It's a roller coaster ride, you know what I'm saying? And I always tell people, cucumbers saved my life.
Come on now.
You know what I'm saying? Because cucumbers, that whole wave gave me a whole new resurgence with
That's
my fans.
That's why I found you. I found you online with them damn cucumbers. I said, this guy with these cucumbers is hilarious, and he's killing the game right now.
That's when I was disgusting Justin. And,
Justin!
And believe it or not, I had more fun in that era than I've ever had in any era of my career.
Now you pissing me off.
I got way more money now. I'm way more successful now. But that cucumber era, that was crazy. It was nothing like that shit. You know what I'm saying? You come into every city, you finding out who really the eaters in that city. You know what I'm saying? And my shows were dumb. That's when Uncle Luke followed me.
Yeah.
Now he was like, man, you showing people shit they ain't seen in like 20 years. And I got to come to one of your parties. And I'm like, sir, excuse me? You know what I'm saying? So, no, shout out to Luke Skywalker, man.
My God, man. And so, come on with it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, so basically, you know, going through all that and then You know, I make Then Leave, and I'm feeling real good about it. I shoot the video for it. And then all of a sudden, man, the world shut down. You know, the pandemic happened. You couldn't have told nobody in January that the world was going to be completely shut down 2 months later.
My God.
You know, so I had this song. I'm like, but damn, I'm crippled now, man. How can I promote it? The clubs are gone. Yeah. All that. And one of my good DJ partners, he worked at 97.9 The Box in Houston.
Okay.
DJ Young Streets. He called me out of nowhere in the blue because he always do that. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? He said, hey, B-King, you got anything new? I was like, yeah, I got this song called Then Leave, man, you know, but I know it's a hit, but I can't even do shit. The world closed. He said, man, fuck that. He said, man, streaming has went up by 200%, nigga.
My God.
He said, the people are listening to the radio all day. They're on Netflix all day. Yeah. They're on TikTok all day. Whatever you have new, drop it right now. And I'm just damn. Like, I'm like, okay. You know what I'm saying?
So this nigga's a
prophet. Yeah, yeah. You know, so yeah. I dropped the song like a week later, and my life ain't been the same since I pressed
upload.
Shit been lit ever since then.
Oh, my God. When the majors came a-calling, though, man, I mean, what was that whole thing? Like, was it everything that you dreamed of?
It was one of the best times in my life. To me, it meant more than the success and the money and everything that came later, that bidding war.
Yeah.
The bidding war meant a lot to me. For a whole week straight, I sat on Zoom calls all day with every label. And it was just a situation. I couldn't get no sleep. Because all night you think about what you're going to buy.
Yeah.
Because everybody was throwing them M's.
My God.
Because of my track record. They like, man, you've been doing this so long. So this is not an accident.
Come on.
This ain't one of them songs on TikTok that just as an accident.
Yeah.
You can make fucking hits for everybody in the buildings. You write, you make beats, you know. So every label was like, we got to get this nigga. And I picked Columbia because they were the ones that came at me the way that meant the most to me. My A&R, his name was KC.
Yeah.
He was from Dallas, and he moved to New York. You know, he was like, bruh, what's crazy about you is when I was in high school, you was that nigga. We all dancing and jigging to your videos.
Come on.
10 years later, you're still that nigga.
Come on. So he understands.
He like, so I'm telling the whole building, this is who we need. And Columbia was the only ones like, yeah, so what's the next song? What's the next single? What's the album? What's the album you trying? They weren't about what's the next song and shit. And everybody else was like, yeah, we want to buy this for $1 million, man. What's up? We want to get Then Leave. We want to sign. And Columbia was the only one talking to me about longevity.
Longevity.
Yeah. So.
Okay, so you mean to tell me it could get so sweet that you could just sell that one song and get the hell on?
That's
something?
What a lot of artists do. It's these single deals. You know what I'm saying? Labels are smart these days, so they're not really calling it single deals no more because that turn an artist off and make you think that you ain't worrying about them like that. You know what I'm saying? What they normally do today is sign you to a deal to where they have an option after the first project to not go forward anymore.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So all they really care about is that one song. That one song is what's going to fund the building so they can have a budget for a bigger artist in the building. You know what I'm saying? So that's all they care about really is that one song.
Yeah.
But in that situation, me being independent for 10 years, I made it my business to find out what everyone do.
Yeah.
Meet everybody.
Come on now.
And toward the end, I was growing frustrated with Columbia.
Why?
I was growing frustrated because major labels move very slow.
Yeah.
And it's not really their fault. It's so much paperwork has to be done for a song. Zoom calls. It don't have a feature. You got to talk to lawyers and clearances, and that take months sometimes, especially somebody turned up and busy.
Yeah.
Then once all that's done, your song have to be pitched for playlist, and that may take a month. And then if Drake or Beyonce drop, you're not getting blue.
Good night.
You know what I'm saying? You know, so it's like it's a lot of waiting and planning. I'm not used to it. I'm used to making a song, shooting a video, dropping that motherfucker.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So it was a dope situation, man. But, you know, like I say, man, with the major labels, you know, I tell the younger artists today, do you want to be famous or do you want to be rich, man?
Come on.
You know what I'm saying?
Mean, with that influx of money, though, man, I mean, was that a steroid boost to B-King's career, though, and just lifestyle in general? How did that make you feel, sir?
Well, one thing about it, man, I'm cut from Michael Watts. You know, I'm cut from Slim Thug. Okay. Like, I'm cut from the underground scene of Houston, Texas. Yeah. And I watched the grind. I watched Slim Thug come and select the sounds with a box of CDs and getting all the independent money back when I was in ninth grade. You know what I'm saying? So I've seen and learned how to get this real Texas money. You can go gold alone in Texas, Texas. You know what I'm saying? You Texas is so big.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So never been broke.
Come on now.
You know what I'm saying? I always had a nice house.
Yeah.
Always, you know what I'm saying, kept a maintain-ish level of how I was living.
Yeah.
But it's nothing like that mainstream money. You know, real talk, you know what I'm saying? When them labels give you that big old loan, you know what I'm saying, as an advance. And no, it's a loan. It's not your money. Yeah. It's your money, but you got to pay it back. You better be successful.
Yeah.
And they give you that big loan, and you put that with the money you already had. And then when Columbia pressed that radio button.
My God.
And you on the radio every 30 minutes around the country, and then promoters on. And all they hearing that, and you making like fucking $50,000 a weekend and all the time. It's over and over and over and over again. And then you get you like you start becoming a millionaire and shit. Come you on. Just like shit. You know what I'm saying?
Come
so
on.
It's the major labels, they once they press the button on the song, you can't run from it. You're gonna hear it everywhere. As soon as you get in that car, it's coming on or going off.
Exactly.
You walking Foot Action or Foot Locker, and you know what I'm saying? Your video playing, you going fucking Fitness Connection or Gym, your video playing on the screen. It's like labels got them big dog connections where they can really make you a star.
Yeah.
And I say that's the part of the game that I liked about the labels. You know what I'm saying? But it's also a flip side to that. You know, they have their priorities. You know what I'm saying? And what labels want to do is they don't want to spend money. They don't want to give you money. They had it their way.
Yeah.
They don't want to spend money. They want you just to get your song popping again so they could take it the rest of the way again.
Mm.
And when my second single came out under Columbia, I didn't really understand that. You know what I'm saying? When TikTok blew up, didn't leave, I thought it was just an act of God. Because it was. I ain't had no TikTok. I had 50 followers on my TikTok. I ain't know how to blow no song up on TikTok. Real talk. You know what I'm saying? But I understand that TikTok is manipulated now. And if you learn how to do certain
work
things to get the algorithms popping for you,
yeah,
I know what to do now. And when I got out of my deal, I was like, all right, it's time to implicate everything I learned from this whole situation and do it for myself. And you know what I'm saying? Columbia, it's a pop label.
Yeah.
Beyonce's there.
Yeah.
Chloe Bailey's there. You know what I'm saying? So it's like their resources were more geared toward pop. And I'm the most ratchet nigga in the building. They didn't really know what to do with me.
Come on now.
I'm the most ratchet nigga there. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's like now that I'm back independent, I'm being my own PR.
Yeah.
I done had like 9 interviews since I've been out here. Been going hard. Like every blog.
Yeah.
All the radio stations this weekend. I'm hitting up every club at night doing all that because Atlanta is a big market for me. People
damn
rocking
right.
me out here. You come to Atlanta, you're going to hear about 3 songs a night for
exactly.
me.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So.
I mean, B. King, though, how did the world around you change once you signed that deal? Because, I mean, you know how folks look at you when you're maneuvering independent. You know, folks are proud of you. They love what you got going on. They're like, you still at it? Hell yeah, keep on pushing. But then when that money come in and now they hear you on power rotation every damn day and you booked every weekend, how did the people around you change and how did your environment change, man?
I say the whole first part of my career, I always wanted it really bad for then. I was like, man, why I can't get a deal now? Why I can't? Why, you know what I'm saying? A lot of things I was a part of. Flick of the wrist, I was on there first.
Oh, my God.
Saying? I got taken off later when he got his deal, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, it's a lot of big things, you know, I was a part of. And it just don't happen the way you may want it to happen.
Yeah.
And I thank God let it happen the way it happened now because if I was early 20s with all this success, It'd be way, I had way more kids, you know what I'm saying? I'd probably be broke by now, spending all the money up, and I'm not smart yet, you know what I'm saying? So the way my environment my environment changed later, I was able to handle it, you know what I'm saying? People being kind of fake happy for you, they'll smile on your face, but really wishing it was them, and, you know, talk down on you when you leave, as soon as something bad happened, they really ready to celebrate. Magnify that, and you know what I'm saying? And no, for the most part, man, my circle's small today, though, man. Yeah. Like, I don't, you know what I'm saying? My circle's so small, it's a dot. You know what I'm saying?
Just you and that thing doing the damn circle.
Real talking about here with my DJ Chase, and we just
what
out here.
What up, Chase?
Yeah, we ain't deep. You know what I'm saying? We out here. When I move around, I'm deep out here.
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, we at B-High Show, just too deep.
Come
on,
man. Mad at that. I mean, keep it popping with Luda and Queendom Come, man.
That was a big deal to me.
That was a big deal to me when I heard that. When I was like, oh, my God, Beat King knows exactly what the fuck he came here to do.
Yeah, man. Shout out to Luda, man.
Luda!
That's a, like, I never thought I'd be friends with Ludacris. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm a very big Ludacris fan. Yeah. All the albums, the Incognito, the all the shit before.
Yeah.
The Timberland shit. Fat Rabbit.
Come on now.
You know, all that shit. One of my favorite producers, Bangladesh.
Come on, Bang.
You know, when he was Chandra and all that, you know, so that's another alien on them beats.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
That nigga's
so
crazy.
Shout out to him. You know, so I'm a very big Ludacris fan, and when I found out he wanted to meet me, I just couldn't believe that shit. Shout out to Infamous. You know what I'm saying?
Infamous, DJ Infamous,
he set that up. He said, man, Luda gonna be in the studio. I was like, Luda who? He's like, Ludacris, man, and he want to meet you. I'm like, what? You know, so I'm Beat King. Don't nobody have me starstruck. Man, I'm cool with fucking Drake. You know, I'm cool with everybody. You know, I'm fucking club guard.
Yeah.
That nigga hit that corner. I went straight fan mode. Oh, my God, Luda, man. Hey, man. I love when you had the big head on rollout, man. I love when you had the big shoe on stand up, my nigga. Hey, man, what the fuck made you make your arms be like that, nigga? Like, you know, I went straight fan mode because that's like one of the soundtracks of my life.
Yeah.
When I realized what I wanted to do with the rest of my life, and that was make music, you know, so 2000, 2001, that's when it was clicking. That's when I dropped out of school. That's when I was like, man, fuck this school shit. I just want to do this.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, like when we still to this day, we locked in.
And that studio session, though, man, how did that go? I mean, at that moment, did you say, hey, man, I'm going to remake this Pussy Popping and go crazy?
You know what's crazy? When I first met him, I wasn't even thinking about music. Because people come at me like that so much, they want to talk about a play before they even get
say,
to talk. Yeah, put that in the song.
Come on now.
You know what I'm saying? They want to just, what can I get from you? What can I get out of you through this friendship right now, man? And a lot of people don't realize they ask for favors too soon, man.
Yeah.
That person, man, I like you tomorrow. Shit.
Is it?
He want to meet you first, see if you his kind of people first.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
That's so real.
But yeah, we linked up and you know, and I was just talking to him about, man, how come you don't get no beats from Bangladesh no more, man? What's the, and I don't think people talk to him like that, ask him stuff like that. And, you know, we all normal people, man, of us, all rappers, you know, and we just had a long studio session chopping it up about which strippers batter, Houston or Atlanta. I was like, don't fucking play with Houston. You got, you know what I'm saying? Atlanta, y'all just naked. You know what I'm saying? Houston, we got them bitches, though. Don't play with us. You know what I'm saying? Y'all just naked out here.
No, Big King.
Now, Atlanta got some nice ones.
Come
Atlanta
on,
got,
man.
But Houston, I put it like this. Atlanta strip club, Atlanta strippers, you looking at them dancing and shit. You like, man, that bitch got a fat ass. She dancing. These Houston bitches will walk up to you and ain't even got to dance because they that bad. They so gamed up in Houston, like, hey, what's up, sexy? They calling you sexy. You think I'm sexy? Have a seat. Have a wing.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, Houston bitch got a little more game, you know what I'm saying? But, yeah, man, but shout out to Luda, man. Like, that's my nigga, man. He still support me to this day.
I mean, what about when you linked up with 2 Chainz and Juicy J, though, man?
Well,
S-D-A-B.
2 Chainz alone is another influential artist.
Come on, man.
You know
same
what I'm saying?
Here.
Me being a super fan of Ludacris makes me be a fan of Titty Boy.
Come on.
You go to those old Ludacris albums, that's Titty Boy on those
Come
skits.
On now.
You know what I'm saying? That's him. Shout out at the radio station, man. Like that's, you know, so I've always been a Titty Boy fan, but I never heard a lot of him. See, being from Houston, it's hard to hear.
Shit.
Especially back then, before the internet and all that. So you had to listen for a Shauna album or a Chingy album or a Ludacris album to hear from Titty Boy. And you listen to their fighting in the clubs, a bottle over here and a chair over there. I'm like, man, he riding that motherfucker, man. This before everybody was, he wasn't 2 Chainz
no,
yet.
No, not yet.
You know, so when he rebranded himself and, you know what I'm saying, turned to 2 Chainz with the Cocaine Cowboy.
Come on now.
And all, I'm like, oh, True Religion. He found that shit. He found it. Yeah. Right around, I'm getting like, oh. And then Jumba Boy on the beat, I'm like, all right. And I was a very big 2 Chainz fan. So, you know, being, that's another partner of mine. I just text him about some real shit.
Yeah.
He ain't about like no rap shit. He give me game on shit. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, Juicy J, that's my idol. That's my idol.
The Juice, man.
I still get nervous on the phone with this nigga.
What?
Like, that's my favorite rapper. That's my idol. I talk to him like every other week.
Yeah.
When I get on the phone with that nigga, I be like, man, am I talking too much, man? I need to shut the fuck up. I'm talking too damn much, man. You probably think I'm lame. Talking too much. But we've been on the phone an hour. I can't be too lame.
Yeah.
All right, man. Shit, you know what I'm saying? But like, that's my idol. You know what I'm saying? That's
exactly what kind of knowledge do you get from them, though,
man? To this day, I still
want to
be like that nigga. That's the only nigga. You know what I'm saying?
When it comes to Luda, 2 Chainz, or Juicy J, who is giving you the best information, and including the Bun B as well? Mm. Who has gave you the game that helped change the trajectory of Beat King's life, man? And what was it?
My big sister, Gangsta Boo.
Boo, come on with it, man.
R.I.P. Lola, that was my nigga.
Yeah.
Like, real talk.
Yeah.
Me and Juicy J, we dropping the album together.
Ooh.
It's already recorded. Like, he on tour right now with Logic, I think. And when he get off tour, we're going to start shooting videos.
Yeah.
And we record the album in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It would have been 1 week, but when she passed away, that fucked us both up.
Come on now.
That fucked us both up.
Yes, sir.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
So speaking on my sister, man, she I met her 10 years ago.
Damn.
And ever since then, we talk all the time.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? All the time. In the beginning, she was the only member of 3-6 Mafia that I had a relationship with.
Yeah.
I didn't know anybody else yet. So just talking to her, she telling me all the stories about the tours and everything they've been through and the ups and downs she had with this industry. I learned a lot from her. She taught me about how to be a stand-up nigga. Don't kiss no ass. Don't be sucking no dick out here.
Come on
now. That shit don't pay off.
Exactly.
Like, stand on something. Be stand a real on. Nigga. And, you know what I'm saying? Don't go through what I went through with this game and shit. And she was like, I was very opinionated about a lot of shit. I talked a lot.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That rubbed a lot of people wrong. And just be careful what you say when you turned up and you feeling yourself.
Yeah.
Be careful what you say.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And like, she taught me a lot. And we have a lot of classic projects. First album we dropped together was called Underground Cassette Tape Music.
Yeah.
That was in 2014. And it did good everywhere. All the major blogs, MTV, Pitchfork, all the, you know, they all heavily revered.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They fucked with it, you know. So Gangsta Boo, that was my big sis. She, like, I was like little brother for real. She taught me a lot.
When you found out that she passed, man, how did that impact you? And where were you at when you found that out, man?
Man, I was in the middle of my weight loss journey. I was walking my laps. And when I'm walking, I got the Apple Music playing, so I'm not checking my phone for nothing. I'm walking, trying to make sure I don't pass the fuck out.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm walking, and I get to my rest point. I walk to the park in my neighborhood.
Yeah.
I sat down. I started checking my phone. I saw I had like 20-something missed texts out of nowhere. You good, bro? Just checking on you. Different text. You good? Next text. You seen Instagram? Next text. Man, say it ain't so, man. What happened to Gangsta Boo? And when I saw that, I just knew it was something bad. So when I get on Instagram, first thing I see, you know, I almost dropped my phone. I ain't gonna lie.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But with her, man, like I say, it's, she taught me a lot and gave me a lot of game. You know what I'm saying? And I end up meeting the other members of 3-6 Mafia later.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I remember conversations she would have. We would have like 2015, 2016-ish. She's like, man, that 3-6 Mafia shit dead, man. Like, we all don't like each other. You know what I'm saying? It's not going to happen. And I was telling her, I was like, man, boo, I don't think that. You know what I'm saying? I think one day everybody's going to get older and y'all going to love each other again. And it happened. You know what I'm saying? It happened later on. They went on to it. Juicy J and DJ Paul, nigga, they on to. They do shows together again. Like, everybody done got clicked back up again and got to the money.
Come on,
and
man.
I told you it was going to happen one day.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, real talk. Because at the end of the day, man, y'all niggas changed the game.
Exactly.
People are still sampling y'all. Glorilla's hit right now is Slob on My Knob.
Come on now.
Cardi B and motherfucking Offset, new song right now is from an underground Memphis 3.
Come on.
You know what I'm saying? It's the 3-6 Mafia sample. So it's like people like me, y'all touched me. Like, it's y'all style is very influential. There ain't no way in hell y'all can't bask in that again.
Come on, man.
And it ended up happening. I'm glad he was able to see that.
Exactly.
Her last memorable moment was on stage with everybody throwing a mic at Bone Thugs.
Exactly.
y'all was gang again. You know what I'm saying? So,
Nah, I mean, that was a crazy thing. That woke me out as well, Beat King, man. I mean, on another note, when it comes to just your fans and people going crazy, I mean, how do you deal with these crazy-ass fans when you touch down, man? I mean, do they expect you to cut a fool with them every time? And are you ready every damn time? How did that go?
Man, I'm 38 years old now, man. I turned 39 in November. When I was
I'm 40 in November. I'm with you.
See, man, like when I was a younger artist, I had time for all that. I was here for it, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, all that, I was down with the fuckery, you know what I'm saying? But nowadays, it's like I'm so more chill. I'm older, more mature. I got more to lose.
Yeah,
you know, going through that cucumber era, it teaches. You know, Uncle Lou kind of spoke to me about it when we was on live one time.
Yeah,
he's like, man, you know, man, just be careful with that lane you're in.
Damn,
he's like, I can tell you about that lane. You know what I'm saying? It's funny, it's dope, it's cool, but a lot of shit come with it. A lot of bands come with it. They'll ban you in places. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Playing with people and making them be freaky and all that and all that shit. A lot of turmoil come with it. He told me how, you know, how he had a show at the Apollo and they was trying to ban him out the Apollo because you have bitches going so dumb. It's only a certain amount of people who really got thought magic like that.
So, I mean, answer me this.
And everybody can't do that shit.
That's
like,
what I'm saying.
Yeah,
do you feel like when you touch down, you turning bitches out?
I got thought magic, bro. Like, it's like when they see me, or maybe they see the shirt or something, it just, they want to show me they lit.
Yeah.
And you can't teach that.
That's
you know
real.
What I'm saying? It's just women want to show me how nasty a lit they can get all the time. And that shit can get to your head and shit. You really think you that nigga, you know what I'm saying?
Come on.
When you got thought magic, only a certain amount of people got that thought magic, you know what I'm saying?
Like, I mean, how do you control the thought magic? I mean, do you keep from goddamn sprinkling it all the time? When was the time that you over-sprinkled the abracadabra thought magic? And you're like, wait a minute, this shit done turned into Sodom and Gomorrah in here.
I'm trying to
Lord, forgive me.
It's been a crazy 13 to 14
That's
years.
That's what I'm knowing, man.
I say probably St. Louis, 2019. It was, 2018 in St. Louis. I had a show, and I had four girls on stage eating each other's ass.
In a train?
Mm-hmm. Like a human centipede. Like a human centipede. And I had like a little out of body experience for like probably about 3 seconds. I was like, oh. These bitches nasty. Oh my God. You know what I'm saying? But you know, it's you know, I seen a lot of shit. You know what I'm saying? A whole lot of shit.
What goes through your mind when you see that shit? Do you even get surprised in it, Modo? Okay.
I done seen it all. I think, unless some new bitch just show me some other shit.
At what point did you become numb?
During the cucumber era.
Okay.
During the cucumber era, because it was the shit I was doing around that time. I was really on some rock star shit, like four girls at once type shit. Like after them shows, they all ready to go wherever you finna go. And it's, you know what I'm saying? So I was really living around that time, you know what I'm saying? That's why I say, like, I couldn't do that again today. Like, I couldn't, you know what I'm saying, with the success I got, you know, and all that. But 2018, 2019, yeah, man, I was.
Why do you feel like the success changed how you have to carry yourself then now?
It's more to lose now.
Okay.
Back then, it was for attention. I was trying to turn up. I was trying to get your attention.
Yeah.
I was trying to push the Instagram limits. What's the
What can I show?
Exactly.
I don't want to put it on OnlyFans. I want to put it on Instagram where it don't belong.
You would have made so much money on OnlyFans.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
My sure. God. Sure.
I could right now. If I just
That's what I was thinking.
Crank that shit up right
exactly.
now.
Exactly.
But I got daughters and they're getting a certain age.
Yeah. I got three daughters, sir.
I got daughters and they're getting a certain age and it's
So, okay, how does that impact that mind?
I'm realizing that the streets and school gonna raise your kids. The best thing you can do, with especially with little girls, install good values in them early.
Yeah.
And teach them what's right and wrong and about embarrassment. You don't want to embarrass yourself. It's an internet world. What you do is on the internet forever.
Forever.
You know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, that's all you can do because they finna be 12 and 13 soon.
Yeah.
And all they watch is Zeus. And I'm like, where the fuck you getting this from? You getting this from your mama or something? Y'all watching Zeus? And they put me on it. All right, now watch this. She finna slap her. I'm like, how do you watch this book? It's my favorite episode. You're 12. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, at the end of the day, man, you know, them streets gonna get to your daughters and you just gotta be able to instill that real shit in them before. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So if your daddy club guard, you're gonna be gamed up pretty early.
Those are facts. Now, I got a few questions to ask, though, man. I mean, do you believe that she still talks to her best eater?
Oh, God. That's one of my shirts.
That's where I'm going with this,
God,
sir.
She do, man. Like, women know who's next. It don't matter if you're in a relationship or anything. It's niggas in them DMs every day. And she got her favorite nigga picked out next. Hell, maybe a nigga that gave her some head before already. You know what I'm saying? As soon as you fuck up, she gonna go fuck with that nigga. She may not even love that nigga like that. Let me just go get some head real quick. Or some dick real quick. And then when you get your shit together, the way women in the mind work, they can't. A lot of them don't want to feel like they're cheating. They have to break up with you to be able to do this. They don't be guilty. You know what I'm saying? Fucking whores.
I mean, do you believe he hurt her into a hole?
Hell yeah, because women act like they getting you back by throwing their pussy around. Bitch, you're running your bodies up. The fuck? I don't give a fuck.
Okay.
Okay, yeah, I do. Stop playing. Stop doing that shit, man. You can't hurt my feelings. I'm a rapper.
The prettiest girls have the most STDs.
Hell yeah, because they fuck the most. Oh, see, we doing a shirt rundown, ain't we?
All right. These shirts.
Yeah, these are the shirts.
These shirts.
Yeah, they fuck the most. Yeah, them ugly bitches, they clean this motherfucker up. They ain't getting no dick like that. You know what I'm saying? That shit crazy. Houston, we done had a motherfucking syphilis, like, outrage. Like, the numbers went up in women in Houston. You know what I'm saying? Hey, but fuck that shit, man. I love my Houston girls, man. You know, that syphilis, I ain't worrying about that. That ain't nothing but some lit monkey, you know what I'm saying? Some lit measles. You know what I'm saying? I ain't worrying about that, man. You know, just keep your hands away from me. I mean, we can still, you know, have fun.
I mean, with that being said, is it safe to say the grass is green, but not me, bitch?
Hey, my shirt's crazy, man.
I love the shirts. I can't believe he came up here without a pack. He ain't showed up with that shirt.
I can't believe I didn't bring a shirt. I swear, when I come back, everybody having shirts.
Thank you, sir.
Everybody having shirts, man. And
Can folks buy the shirts?
Yeah, they online.
Well,
they
let
online.
Me know, cause I'm just gonna buy mine.
BKingKong.com. No, you're not buying shit. I'm gonna get you a shirt. I'm gonna get you a shirt. But the story on that is, in 2009, you know, before social media was like popping like that, and with Instagram and shit, I'm trying to get my career started. I'm going to clubs every night trying to get the DJs my song.
Yeah.
And if you wear clothes every single night for like 3 weeks straight, you're going to run out of clothes.
Come on, man.
I don't give a fuck. You're gonna run out.
Yeah.
So I started wearing my own shirts with the name of my single on it, promoting my shit.
Mm.
And then that just mutated into this crazy ratchet shit I'm doing now, you know what I'm saying? So it's to the point now, man, if I don't have no funny shirt, I don't even get that many likes on Instagram.
Damn.
Like, it's like when a female posts a picture of her face, you'd be like, I like it because you're cute, but don't do that next time.
Well,
stand your ass
that.
Up, you know what I'm saying? We want to see that ass, you know what I'm saying? So. That's how it is with me. I post a picture in a jacket. I'm going to get a lot of likes, but it ain't going to be like...
Well, because, I mean, them shirts just say something to me, okay?
Yeah.
When I'm scrolling, I see that shirt, man. It make my day, man.
Yeah, for sure.
Come on,
man. That's my version of having a tattoo, man. I ain't got no tattoos, you know? So But them shirts, I can let you know my whole personality, but I'm even speaking to you. Okay. You know exactly who I am when you see the shirt. With like, that, like this shirt, Twitter porn is top tier. You know exactly what type of nigga I am if you see me walk around just in public with this. You're like, damn, I relate to that because I watched, my bad, not Twitter porn, X. That's what it's called now, X. That shit's stupid. You know what I'm saying? Fucked up my whole shirt. What is an X? You know what I'm saying? Fucking Elon.
With that being said, though, Beat King, what advice do you got for other artists coming up in the game, man? I mean, do they need to be rushing trying to get that major deal? Do they need to enjoy that journey? And I mean, what do they need to be expecting when they get into the game, man?
Don't get a major deal until you have at least built an underground following, an independent cult following, people who gonna ride with you.
Yeah.
Because you're not gonna be signed to that label forever.
Yeah.
And you're gonna still need those fans.
Yeah.
That cult following who loved you before the deal. That's why a lot of artists don't even say they got a deal. They be lying. And I'm independent because they don't want their fans to think that, you know what I'm saying, they finna be acting hella bougie or something. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I advise all independent artists to build your following as much as you can. Get as many followers on Instagram. The more followers you have, the louder your voice is. Come, you know what I'm saying? Your following, your... After Columbia, I dropped this album, and my fans love it, and they turning it up, and they TikToking to it right now, and all that. So it's just like, build that following first. And that's easier said than done, you know. In today's climate, you know, back in the day, you can just pass out CDs.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And it was all about who worked the hardest. That's who made it. Even if your shit was trash, if you passed out 5,000 CDs at TSU, you were going to be lit.
Come on now.
Whether you was whack or good, it's called working. Exactly. You're going to get results. It's inevitable. If you pass out 5,000 CDs on a college campus, everybody going to know your shit.
Exactly.
But today, there are no CDs. I don't have a CD in none of my cars. Mm. You know what I'm saying? So now it's social media where you have to manipulate that. You have to be a character or have an interesting lifestyle, and then the music is secondary. You're like, oh, this person funny. I'll listen to his new song now. It's weird, but that's how it is now.
How do you feel being free?
I love it.
Because that paperwork is one thing, but once that paperwork is gone, man, how do you feel saying, okay, I can push the button on Beat King again?
I love it. It reminds me of how it used to be with my life and career, and I wasn't as turned up as I am now, so it's a lot easier. Like back in the day, before the pandemic, I would drop a project, probably one video on the project, hope that song do good. It was probably the main single on the project. Probably do an interview at the Houston radio stations, maybe the Dallas radio stations, and I was done.
Yeah.
But now I'm more turned up, way more resources, way more friends, you know, so I'm out here in the A, tapping in with all my A-town friends.
Come on, man.
Because with me, I have been independent for so long, so when I finally did get a national hit, everybody was like, yes, I nigga got one.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I was able to come to the A and link up with people like, yes, well, I gave you a plaque. You was one of the people.
Hey, man, I appreciate that, man. No, I mean, hell, I had no trust because I saw what the hell was going on. It's like, this nigga's turned all the way up. You better support him because he's all the way up.
Yeah, man, make sure y'all put that camera on that plaque. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right up in there.
Real talk. Yeah. You know? Like, for sure, you know, because at the end of the day, man, that means a lot to me. People who supported me and didn't have to, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's why I love DJ Bishop to death, you know what I'm saying?
ATL dog. Top 20. And that's another one right there.
Right there.
You see, like, what I'm saying? I always
rep that nigga. I let everybody know, if you try to get on in the A, he is the bridge.
Yeah, he's one.
You know
one.
What I'm saying? He's the bridge. When he posted my video in 2018, Swamp Izzo saw it.
Mm.
He started playing Swamp me Izzo at Blue Flame.
Come on, man.
You know what I'm saying? I ain't even know who Swamp Izzo. I heard of him, but I never met him.
Yeah.
He playing that Blue Flame. So then Stewie Rock FaceTime me. Hey, bro, they fucking with you at Blue Flame. I'm like, who? Swamp Izzo. I'm like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
So I flew to Atlanta just to meet Swamp.
My God.
Just to meet him. And I told him I appreciate that. We've been dogs ever since. I was just hanging with him at Blue Flame last night. So all these resources of people, when I finally got a national hit, they're like, all right, baby, we gonna make this go.
How do you feel about the strip clubs over the years, man? Do you feel like anything's changed, or is it the same thing?
Same thing.
Okay.
Same thing. You know what I'm saying? It's it's gonna be hard for something like that to change now. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's same thing. Pussy, chicken wings.
Yeah.
Pasta.
Come on now.
Pose, broke niggas go home. You know what I'm saying? Same shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, I've been to strip clubs all over the country. Mm. And the only thing that's different is the BPMs of music. In Atlanta, you hear a lot of hood ass gangster shit. You're gonna hear me.
Yeah.
You're gonna hear these women, because these women kicking ass
they
right
running
now.
Shit.
Lotto
yeah.
and all of them. You're gonna hear the women.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You go to the Midwest, man. You're gonna hear a lot of the same shit, but they may throw a Tech N9ne song in that motherfucker. I don't know. Tech N9ne? Like I said, it just may, you know what I'm saying, hit you with some, you know what I'm saying, their culture.
Yeah.
You go to the West Coast, it's gonna be boom, boom, boom. You know what I'm saying?
It's going,
the BPM.
Hell no!
The BPM is faster. You know what I'm saying? They playing faster shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
New York, it's gonna be. Do we really kill? Are they really real? Like, you gonna hear that BPM like that? And I love it all. I love all that club shit. You know, so.
Now, on another note, though, Beat King, I got to ask you about just hip-hop in general. And we done lost a lot of artists over the years, man. I mean, how has that impacted you when you see, you know, artists that you came up with and came across start to leave us, man?
It's one of them things where, you know, back in the day, man, you just had Big and Pac. You know, they were the only ones passed away. And that taught everybody a lesson. You're like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
You don't think those entities are gonna ever pass away like that.
Yeah.
But today someone's dying every year.
Yeah.
Every year is happening. You know what I'm saying? And it's just more dangerous today, man. Like, people will never understand the risks we take on this road for that bag, man.
Mm.
Like, it been so much gangster shit happening to me on that road.
Okay,
shit,
now
shit
come
that
on,
never,
B. King.
Shit that never hit the internet type shit. And I ain't even no gangster rapper.
That's what I'm saying.
But it's still, it's like, I realized the psyche of niggas. It's like, you got to understand, everybody wants a shot. They want a chance. They want to be able to, like, Hustle and Flow, one of my favorite movies. That shit's real. Niggas get dressed.
Yeah.
They put their chain on. They do their hair. They kiss their bitch. Yeah, man, nigga, B King, my girlfriend love his music, man. I'm finna go to the club, finna meet this nigga. I'm finna rap to this nigga. He gonna love my shit. He gonna sign me. We gonna follow each other on Instagram. It's gonna happen just like that. And that's how it was in their head. They planned it out just like that. And if they get to that club, what's up, B King? Man, I don't wanna talk to him. Where the hoes at?
Damn.
You killed a whole love. And instantly, now they wanna kill you. It went from love to... Well,
you
shit,
gotta
if
die.
You ain't gonna fuck with him, I'm finna get my world star moment or something. I'm finna get something off this nigga. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you gotta really be human sometimes and just talk to people and don't be a whole ass nigga. Don't act like you're too big to talk to people. I used to be like that, man, in the airport with my headphones on. I don't want nobody to talk to me. Fucking headphone jack hanging out the bottom of my jacket. Like, it ain't even hooked up to nothing. You know what I'm saying? I don't want nobody to talk to me type shit. But, you know, you got to step outside of that, man, and be like, man, I remember when all I ever wanted was for somebody to recognize me.
Oh, my God.
I remember all I ever wanted was somebody to know who I am and to recognize me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And when that start happening, it can become overwhelming. We all humans.
That's real.
You know what I'm saying? But you got to realize, man, just think back to when you were 16. And if you was at a motherfucking Walmart, and if you would have saw Ludacris.
Come on.
Juicy J, motherfucking anybody, man, you're going to be like, oh, my God, man, look.
Well, hell, you saw what happened with...
We in Walmart. Let the freestyle start. I make a bitch pussy pop when she finna make it spark. Like, you're going to be like, just... you're going to just bust out into that shit. You know what I'm saying?
Come on.
You can't help it. You know what I'm saying? Like,
well, you saw what happened with Future and Scottie Pippen. You know, he saw Scottie as a kid. Scottie pissed him off, so he grew up and hit his wife.
Boy. Hey, man.
Now that's called animosity. Okay, you've been holding on to that since you were 13, man.
One thing about it, I've been in the game 13, 14 years. I say that a lot because I'm proud of that. I've been outside a long time. And I remember every single hoe ass nigga.
What?
I remember them all from the whole journey. and can't none of them niggas see me today. I got more money than your whole family.
Oh my God.
I remember everything you said, anything you may have said behind my back, any way you treated me. You can't get no favor. You can't sit at no table with me.
They didn't try to change?
They all start sucking dick later. Of course they're going to change. They don't even want you. And they'll approach you like it didn't happen.
Hey, they don't remember
that. They ain't
going
to bring that up. They don't even want to acknowledge that. You know what I'm saying? They put their arms around you like, yeah, man, I fuck with this nigga. All right, bro.
Come on.
You know, so, you know, I remember everybody, and they can't get shit from you.
Exactly. You
know, so just take that into consideration, man. You don't know who going to become who next year. You know what I'm saying? So you shitting on people. Niggas fuck around. Come your A&R.
Come on, man.
Next year, wherever you sign to, and then you just fucked off.
Exactly. Also, Mo 3, when he passed in Texas, man, how did that impact you? Because Mo was one of those ones as well that was on his way to a whole nother place.
Mo 3 was my nigga, man. He would always tell me he was locked up. His favorite song was You Ain't About That Life, the one with me and Kingdom Come, 2012. You know what I'm saying? So Mo 3, very talented dude. He was a friend of mine.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He came to the house, you know, a lot of times when he was in Houston, just wanted to just chill.
Yeah.
So he'd come to the house and chill. He let me hear his music. You know what I'm saying? And I hate that it's one of them things where he understood what people liked from him.
Mm.
They loved his real music and his message, but he knew that people loved that beef. And he knew that when he dropped a beef song, his numbers went dumb.
Damn.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I used to always hate that part about it. And I would tell him, because these niggas was younger than me, you know?
Yeah.
So I talked to Mo 3, like, when the gangster niggas hang around me, you know, we goofy. We ain't talking about the gangster
exactly.
shit. I'm roasting you and all your partners with these crazy Dallas haircuts.
Come on.
You know what I'm saying? Roasting everybody and shit. And I tell him, I was like, man, bro, I ain't trying to tell you how to live your life, man. But it's real out here, bro. And, you know what I'm saying? Niggas... You know, but I can't tell another grown man
how to live.
You know, how to live. You know what I'm saying? I wish he could have left that beef part alone because he didn't need it.
Yeah.
That nigga was very talented.
Had the talent.
He didn't need that. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, when he passed away, I was just like, I was telling him last month, he didn't need the beef.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And he didn't pass away from beef. It was some other shit.
Yeah, other shit.
You know what I'm saying? But, you know, it's you know, one of them things it's where...
That energy.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? That energy. And I've never wanted to come off that way, man. I like being able to go to Target and buy what I need and I have to worry about looking over my shoulders. Are my daughter safe with me? Got to worry about an op out of nowhere type shit. You know what I'm saying? And Mo 3, man, you come to Dallas, man, they play Mo 3 sets, and it's like choir rehearsal in the club. Everyone's singing it word for word, and, you know, his music will live on in Dallas forever, you know what I'm saying?
50 years of hip-hop, man, the way people have been catching Ricos and passing, do you think we're going to be able to get another 50 years?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. My thing is, I just don't know what... I can't imagine what music will sound like in 20 or 50 more years. Because it's like I'm a real hip-hop historian, you know what I'm saying? You know, Sugar Hill Gang to motherfucking Rakim.
Come on.
To the Elevations, you know, the motherfucking Big Daddy Kane's and MC Shans and all that. Like, I know my knowledge about hip-hop, the KRS-One's. And if they could have had a time machine in the 80s to... all the way to now. So it's they be like, you know what I'm saying? Like, whoa, this how this shit sound now? Like, what the fuck's going on? Them hearing an auto-tune or hearing a Future or hearing a little Uzi Vert, they're like, wait, what the fuck?
Come
on. You know, so it's like hard to imagine what music would sound like 20 or 50 years from now, because it's just like technology is just changing this shit.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you just need a laptop and a mic, you make a hole hit in your room and you broke, and then a year later, you're a millionaire. You know what I'm saying? Like,
Come on.
No, so.
With that being said, Beat King, with this new project, man, what do you want folks to take away from this thing? And is there anything that you want your fans to know in here, man?
My true fans, I just want to let y'all know that I'm back. You know what I'm saying? I ain't dropped a project in 3 years, but I'm back independent, and there's not enough money in the world, I think, that's going to make me ever sign back to a major label. They got a lot of money.
Yeah.
I think, you know what I'm saying? But I like being independent, and I'm going to stay this way for a minute because I can move how I want to move, get shit done, drop videos when I want to. I just put that on Facebook. I forgot how being independent is. I can drop a video tomorrow for my project if I want to. I ain't got to sit on a Zoom call with 9 white people first.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I can just drop this shit, you know what I'm saying, and do it how I want to do it. So it's nothing. That's a fulfillment, you know what I'm saying? Being able to do it the way you do it, not turning a song. And they're like, man, this is dope, but it'd be dope if you can get so-and-so on it. I think she'll crash it, too. You're just like, I don't want a girl on this song. I just want it to be my song.
Come on, man.
And they put this kind of thing over you where they're like, okay, well, I mean, it can stay just you. But if you put her on it, we'll support it more.
Oh, shit.
So then you're just like, let me see if I can hit up. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's just, mate, they put that pressure on you like that. Never cared about pressure. It's just I want to be able to do what I want to do.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, BK, how can they contact you, man?
All social media, man. Instagram, Club Godzilla, Twitter, X, Beat King Kong, TikTok, Club Godzilla, Facebook, Beat King. And I'm on all social media. Make sure y'all pick up the album. She Won't Leave Houston on all streaming platforms. And it's a ratchet ass time. Straight up, man. Shout out to B-Hop for having me, because I love this channel.
Hey, man. Appreciate
like,
you,
like I
my
said,
dog.
Nigga, you the only Tila interview that exists.
Come on, man. No, Tila, I'm trying to get Tila back in this thing, too. I need part two.
Right, nigga, you have some crazy things that's going to live on.
Yeah.
Long when we're gone.
Hey, man. That's what we're doing it for, because we got to document history from this side, too, man. Yeah. All of these stories need to be told. And, you know, one of my things was also this. A lot of the information from the 90s that we grew up on, nigga, didn't even transfer to the digital age. So that's part of the reason why I had to go old school with a lot of the stuff that I went, because it wasn't no representation of that in the digital world, man.
You got to talk that shit. You got to talk that shit, because if you don't give yourself your flowers,
come on,
people won't give them to you.
Those
you
got
to give them to yourself. It's like what I realized being in the game so long is that sometimes lame niggas get in positions.
Yeah.
Big positions. And because they weren't a fan of you personally,
come on,
they'll try to rewrite history without you in it.
Come on, man.
They'll try to act like you didn't even exist they weren't personally a fan. So you got to really get out here and talk your shit.
Those are facts.
So you can be heard and let people know, nah, nigga, I did that first.
Exactly.
I did that. You wouldn't be able to do that. Nigga, B. King, I changed the sound of Houston, Texas.
Come on.
It was car culture before me. It was coming down, swinging, coming down, gripping grain. You know what I'm saying? Piece and chain, swing, dang-a-lang. It was like that. When I came out with club music, nobody else had energy in the city. I changed the whole sound. Now everybody has club energy. You have the Megan Thee Stallions, the Kindermans, the motherfucking like the Mona Leos, all this shit. And that's no discredit to them. I'm not saying that I sparked their career or nothing. What I'm saying is there was no y'all before it was me.
Well, I'm going to say
this. And I don't
this.
Mean that like nice.
Well, no, I'm going to say this.
Club music in Houston, I brought that.
Well, I'm going to say this from the outside looking in. I mean, it looked like you put the state and the city on your back and ran with it and took it around the country. Because when folks was having a hard time popping out of the state and out of the city, niggas knew who Beat King was.
Michael Watts would have had him conversations with me all the time. He's like, man, I go out of town and I have a problem playing Houston music because people want to get lit and dance. And our songs are slow and car culture and real shit, you know what I'm saying? And when you came out, I can play music that competes.
Come on.
I can play club party music and I can do that, you know what I'm saying? And again, going back to my rant, I don't want to come off like I'm trying to take credit for the women in Houston, because they are You know what I'm saying? Like, they worked hard to get to where they are and everything, but that's a lane I created from the city. I put Houston hip hop on a molly.
Come on.
Straight up. And people can take it how they want to take it. Niggas was coming down and swinging and banging before I came out.
Come on.
When I came out, bitches start popping that pussy for real. And not to discredit, no UGK, let me see it, you know, and stuff
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, that's real now.
But, you know, I was like, bitch, pop that pussy. Let me see it for real.
Did you ever get a chance to come across the pimp during your career?
Never met him.
Oh,
never.
My God.
He was a little bit before my time. Like,
yeah.
He passed away 2 years before I could really get in the game like
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
But everybody tell me that he would have loved me.
Oh.
His wife tell me that all the time.
Yeah.
His mother, before she passed away, she rocked with me. She told me, man, Pimp C would have loved you.
Oh,
cause man. I make beats and all that.
Yeah,
and like y'all both some filthy niggas. Like y'all would have did some shit.
Come
you know
on,
what I'm saying?
Man.
Bun B say it all the time.
Yeah.
He just said it on live a couple days ago. He said, I really wish Pimp could have met Club Godzilla.
Oh my God.
He said, cause they would have been. You know what I'm saying? So like
top five out of Texas for Beat King, man.
Can't do that.
So you're not even gonna go there with me.
It had to be 10.
Okay.
Had to be 10.
See, now you're going to make me narrow it down even more then. Who are 3 then? Give me. See, now you just paid the homage and said, hey, it's 10. I don't want to do 10.
Okay, this is what I'm going to do. I can't make a list of people who are influential because everyone is influential in different ways. So what I'll do, I'll give you 3 of my favorite Houston rappers. My favorite Houston rapper of all time is Chamillionaire.
Come on now.
You know what I'm saying? He may not have the longest career, but the things he did in that underground
time, he snapped. Yeah.
That's still with me to this day, like the impact he had. He was so smart and intelligent with his punchlines and everything.
Right.
He came with Swish House rapping light years better than everybody that was at Swish House when he came in.
Yes, sir.
You know what I'm saying? So you got Chamillionaire, would have to say Bun B, and okay, I can name 5. Okay, I said Bun B, said Chamillionaire, Slim Thug, Zero. Okay, I need 6. Okay, Slim Thug, Zero, Lil Kiki and Paul.
Okay then. Okay. Yeah. What do you think about the Mexican out of Texas?
Mexicans run Houston hip hop right now.
Yeah.
I'm saying,
it's like that.
Because
I heard the song that the Johnny Dane going crazy.
Man, Houston is Mexicans.
What?
The real Houston.
Yeah.
If it was ever a war, Mexicans kicking our ass.
Because
them niggas deep.
Oh,
that's why
man.
He turned up so quick, because the Mexicans like, oh, we got another one. Oh, shit. We ain't got bump SPM no more. Oh.
Damn.
And that's no disrespect to SPM, because SPM still is
Come
very
on.
Prominent with Mexicans.
And yeah.
SPM was hard.
Yes, sir.
Ahead of his time.
Come on now.
You know what I'm saying? But that Mexican OC, that nigga be crashing. He be rolling his tongue. Put up on the...
Yeah.
Nah, that nigga be crashing. He's tough.
Yeah.
He's tough. And D-Baby, he's more the little babyish style, Kevin Gates type style. You know, so...
Yeah.
The Mexicans are rejoicing in Houston right
is
now.
That-
they're like, yeah, nigga, we in this whole homes. For real, homes.
You I can dig saying? That like, shit, man. Because, I mean, if it's jamming, it's jamming.
It's jamming. And them niggas are jamming. You
Come
know
on
what I'm
now.
Saying? So, shout out to the Mexicans, man. Mexican OT, you know what I'm saying? We ain't met each other yet, but, you know what I'm saying? I tagged him in something on the story, and when I heard his song on XM Radio, you know, he reposted the type shit. We going to run to each other.
Hell, yeah.
Because Mexicans love me, too. Hell, I look Mexican in the right club, lighting. See, you see me in the club, I look Mexican. Bitches always ask me, are you mixed? I'm like, nah, I got bad hair and all. I'm full nigger. Full nigger. With the ER, I'm full nigger.
Big King, man, my dog.
Nigga.
Appreciate you coming through this thing, man. Wishing number the best and much success.
For sure.
Be how ready, yo, shout it. Big King, holla at y'all in a minute, man. We go.